It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Schizzi!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosie@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. As you were just talking about, follow you on Twitter, at Matt Sosie.
Matthew Sosie.
At Matthew Sosie,
yes,
sorry.
Sorry.
Have you thought about maybe changing it to at real Matt Sosie?
Why? Did you create a fake no. Matthew Sosie Twitter account? Please don't.
At Sosie Thoughts.
I'm going to have to incorporate all of those. The voice you just heard is the man who's burning his Lance Stevenson jersey. That's Kobe Slagle.
Going to burn it in the streets until yeah. he comes back in 4 years.
And bring... Well, he's gonna spend quality time with Mr. Jordan.
Yeah,
have fun with that. The new Kwame. No. Sorry, guys. We're in the sports portion of the film show. We're
Lance
over
Stevenson,
here.
However, far better and far more accomplished beyond anything Kwame Brown.
That is true.
Did.
Kwame didn't know when to blow into opponents' yeah. ears. Apparently. Anyway, that's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
And joining us in studio, because it's a real show. It's terrific. If trust me, when you hear some of the new films that are out, you might just want to go to see some live theater, because AUP's production of The Tragedy of Hamlet is happening, and we have what I have now called, I'm surprised social media hasn't thrown this back in my face, what I refer to as my favorite Shakespearean siblings.
Oh, it's so real.
Yeah, it is. It's very true.
Leah DeWalt is Ophelia, Adam Tran is Laertes in the production of Hamlet. Full disclosure, I've directed both of them, but not together. That's what this show is for. So welcome back, gang.
Thank you.
Hi.
I have had both of them on as guests, but never in this unit, and God help me for doing this.
Nor have yeah. we ever actually, we have been fake siblings in real life for a number of years, but have never actually had a line in a show together.
Oh, you mean in the social sense of the word?
Yes.
Like Kobe and I being brotastic.
Exactly.
Bro.
Like that.
Dude. So now you actually get to be brother and sister on
right,
stage.
Right, and say we've done multiple shows together, but always, like, never even having a word on stage together. Just
and
always
now,
passing, and now we get to fulfill our sibling love.
That was the most convoluted way you possibly could have said that.
And you just went from Shakespeare to Tennessee Williams. That's really good.
That's up next for us.
Yes. So before we get into it, so tell folks where they can go to see Hamlet, and then we'll talk a little bit about the show when we get a little further past the movies.
Yeah, it's an outdoor production of Hamlet. It is at the Marion University Amphitheater. It's right next to the – oh, Kobe gets it.
Yep.
I know that I know that place.
Oh.
I know this show.
I've gone into that library a million times, and I actually never realized that there was like a full stage there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space. The weather has been – unbelievable. Bring a sweatshirt. It actually gets a little chilly at the end of the July night, which I would not have expected.
But you do not, you are not chilled, because you spend a lot of energy being crazy.
She's pretty chill, bro.
I end up, well, too much water, hast thou?
Yeah, Ophelia. A little bit. And of course, Laertes just has red hot passion and revenge.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's how I'm usually described.
It's on his business card.
Red hot passion Laertes over here.
Or as somebody on Facebook tagged me today, they described other people's acting and described the fitting of my pants.
To that describe
was,
your acting?
That was what they
to
took
describe
from the
my
show.
Red Hot Passion, I think.
I would never I would never do that. And no, I didn't. So wasn't me.
It was not like
can't prove it. So that's cool. And it's running two more weekends, correct?
Yeah, including this one.
Including
this weekend
this
and
one.
Next weekend.
Right.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with rain dates on Sunday nights.
And where would rain venues be?
Same exact place. Just instead, if we get rained out either Thursday night, Friday night, or Saturday night, we will just jump in with a fully staged production on Sunday night at 8 p.m. instead.
There you go. So we'll be chatting with them a little bit. But first, I'm glad you guys are here because there are two films opening today that I got to review this week. First off, we'll get through the stuff that is opening that I didn't see, and we're just going to plow through it. Did anybody need Planes, Fire, and Rescue?
Did not see original Planes.
Did not either because we already saw both cars.
Did not
I already
see
saw
it.
Both cars.
Not going to see it.
You sound like Jim Rome.
Not going to do it.
Not interested.
Unnecessary.
Not needed. That is there. Another one, Kobe, I know you're not going to see. Purge the Anarchy.
Not going to do it.
Not necessary. Where's Ethan Hawke? How come he's not in this? Sad. And all right. So
Ethan Hawke, who was another Hamlet alumni.
Yeah, but I really wanted Liev Schreiber to beat the living daylights out of him in that production. I was
they
not
just shot the living daylights out of each other.
Yeah, it was. There were parts of that I liked, and others. But I don't know, slacker Gen Y film student. Not really my Hamlet of choice. Oh,
I appreciated it for what it was. I was like, okay, this is for fully acknowledging that side of it.
Elsinore Incorporated.
Yes.
So. Okay, so I'm glad you guys are, because I'm going to need, as the elder statesman of the studio, there are two films that opened today that I got to see, and I Kobe has heard me gripe about this more than others. My patience are wearing thin where there are films about folks complaining about getting older. Not the grumpy old men, like Las Vegas and Grumpy Old Men, where they are old.
Where they really are old.
They are old. But, for instance...
I'm 40, and I can't play football in the yard with my bros anymore because I'm older and things hurt.
We add 2 hours and 20 minutes and written and directed by Judd Apatow. Right. Yeah. So, well, anyway, opening in theaters today is Zach Braff's contribution to this. Is he on your list, Kobe?
Oh, definitely.
Kobe has a list.
He's the chairman of the board of
is
my
he
list.
Really? Really the
what
chairman?
Is the
what is the
list?
List?
All right, Kobe has a list of people he does not... Now... There's one. Watch Adam's levels because I know when you go through this list, there's going to be a little disagreement with one of the names. I'm already aware of this. But there are a list of.
I should hang on. Let me see if I can pull up the list. Here.
Do you have a list?
You have
really?
A
well, I think
list?
I think I put it on the blog once.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's right. You did. So there are a number of actors that Kobe really does never wants to hear from ever again.
Oh no.
Oh yes. So may I go through? Because I know a few of these.
Yeah, go
ahead. Because we're on, and we got time to fill. but like Dane Cook's on the list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vince Vaughn's on there. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds
on the list.
Are these strictly because of like recent, like so this is not condemning their entire canon. It's just saying due to the most recent things that I was frustrated about, I don't want to hear anything about them again.
You have to ask him. That's his list.
Just don't.
Slagle's list.
Don't really like him.
And Zach Braff is on there. Now the other one, I'll bring up, because Russell Brand is on that list.
Oh, man.
Yes. See, Adam's heart.
Yeah,
just
it hurts
shattered.
My feelings. Yeah, I understand. I understand
his
that.
His feelings are hurt, Kobe.
I understand what
you know.
You
what
mean
Katie
by his
Katie
acting.
Katie Perry actually likes the list,
right? I understand what you mean by his acting, but I just think he's so hilarious.
I think you need to see more footage of him taking down politicians.
Yeah.
Oh, you no. So here's the list.
Oh no, ladies, this is just maybe this is just a
partial.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, a portion of Kobe Slagle's list.
Oh, no. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, Ryan Reynolds. We already covered. Michael Cera.
Yeah.
I think he could branch out.
Don't.
Don't. Don't get off the list. Is that what he's saying? Once you're on, you're on.
Once you're on, you're on.
That's terrible. Like Angelina Jolie. She's on the list. Mm.
So it's not just dudes.
And I feel like I'm going to catch some flack on this one, but Jack Black.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You're talking to Shakespearean actors right now. We're good.
yelling and crazy because the grown-ups don't understand the kids. And
so I guess I should not get you Tenacious D for Christmas.
And then doing
Christmas.
A bunch of...
Yeah.
I do use the phrase, cello, it's a bass, on a weekly basis, though.
Now, I would say... Does that include School of Rock and High Fidelity and Bernie? You haven't seen Bernie.
No, I saw Bernie.
You did?
Bernie.
Okay, yeah. So he's lower on the list. He's not a chairman.
No, no. He's Zach Braff is the chairman of the board.
Chairman of Kobe's list board. Well, Kobe, he's got a new film out, and it's called It's called Wish I Was Here. Or as I like to call it, Zach Braff's This Is 35. He is, you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Only it's shorter and less shrill. He plays an out-of-work actor.
A lot of acoustic music.
I don't
even playing an actor?
Yes, he's playing a struggling actor.
What a
staring
stretch.
At wallpaper.
Well, and he's got a wife played by Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson plays the wife to everyone on your list.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Anyway, times are tough, and he's also got dad issues. It also doesn't help that your dad is a very intense Mandy Patinkin,
right,
who is suffering from cancer and cannot afford to have the kids go to the Jewish private school that they've been going to for many, many years. So
he picked up every possible film.
Right. So life lessons will be a lot of character stuff, Kobe. Not a whole lot of plot
not
stuff.
Just a lot of character things. A
lot of character things happening in this one. So, you kind of see where we're going on this. And Kate's having troubles at work, and they're not happy, folks. Mm. They're in their mid-30s, and this one isn't as whiny as, say, This Is 40 or Knocked Up, where, you know, Kate's not complaining about not being able to get into a club, but, you know, they got kids. Deal with it.
Is Kate Hudson in her mid-40s?
No. She's not. She doesn't look like this. Come on. But it's part of that. There's also, which kind of personifies the moment. There is a scene where Zach Braff tries to homeschool the two children. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Sitcom-like results.
Mm-hmm.
With the two kids, the older girl who really wants to go back to the private school, and the young spazzy boy, because he's a young spazzy boy. He doesn't know any better, none care.
Yeah. At the end of the scene, they put an X-ray up and say, "I'm no Superman."
Oh.
See what she did there?
Yep.
That's from a TV show.
That's
television.
She's seen.
I have seen a few. I have not watched all of 9 years.
Well, and so as much as I'm griping about this, there are a couple things that are okay about it. But as you said, Adam, there's no independent film cliche left unturned. And this would be a powerful film if it were 1990.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
It's got Mandy Patinkin in it. It's got to be. I mean, there's got to be something good going on.
Did you ever see Elmo in Grouchland?
No.
I did.
No, he's fine in that. But I'm sure I could find something that Mandy Patinkin did that we could just all go, well, I hope the check was good.
I'm sure.
Anyway, but so there was one aspect that about the Jewish faith that is brought up that's, I will say, is a little unique. Hmm. That's so it's not just your run-of-the-mill mumblecore angst-ridden independent film, even though it's done by a studio. Kate Hudson's actually pretty good in this. Because Kate Hudson, if I had a list, Kobe, but I don't because I'm married and I have a child and I have jobs and things. But, you know, I don't need to see her in a romantic comedy ever.
Right.
Ever, ever again. But she's got a little bit more in this to do. Now, part of it's the wife. Capital T, capital W. She does have a couple of scenes. There is a small subplot about a coworker that really could have just made the film shorter and just better that way. But, you know, she has to have her moments as well. I get that. I understand that. So, but she's actually grounded in this, and it's pretty good, as opposed to because I think Katherine Heigl's taken her spot. So as far as mugging over the top, bad. So anyway, she's pretty good in this. And the oldest daughter is a kind of her name is Joey King, and she's kind of a that girl. So I'm like, where have I seen it? Because she's been a kid, I'm sure, in lots of things. So I went through, and she's actually quite good in this. She was in White House Down. She was Channing Tatum's daughter in White House Down. Yeah, exactly. So she was in Crazy Stupid Love.
Man, she's building a resume.
And Ramona in Ramona and Beezus with Selena Gomez. So yeah, I've actually seen
she's
this.
The daughter, capital T, capital D.
Kind of, but she does quite a bit with it. So
yeah.
Anyway, so they're good. Oh, and she was in Oz, Great and Powerful. Don't blame her. And in Dark Knight Rises. Don't blame her.
Yeah, the check was good.
Yes, that's right. So, anyway, it's something we haven't seen before. It's something we have seen before countless times. It's now Zach Braff's version of it. And I still think Garden State is one of the finer of the Loser Returns Home films, yeah. The genre, with everyone's favorite Manic Pixie Dream Girl. That would be Natalie Portman. Right. But no, this... you don't need to see this. I mean, there's a couple nice spots, but not enough to worth checking it out. You're lost. That's fine.
Kobe's
that's
lost in a haze of Zach Braff hatred.
blind hatred of Zach Braff. He can't do sound effects.
Now
that's cool. That's cool. We'll move on to the next one. So yeah, I got to see this last week and started thinking about it. Again, not terrible, not the worst, but not worth checking out. Then I saw, ladies and gentlemen, I see films so you don't have to. That's what I do from time to time here at Film Sociology. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw Sex Tape. Yes, Leah?
I don't have any words.
Yeah, you don't have to. Because me talking about Lars von Trier's film Nymphomaniac last week wasn't enough.
Oh, God.
Well, we have Jason Segel and we have Cameron Diaz, and their marriage is in a rut. They have two kids, right. And
it's hard out there at 35.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think Ms. Diaz is a little older than that.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Well, and she has a blog which is about ready to be purchased by a major corporation, and it helps that your CEO is Rob Lowe. He right. works at a generic radio station because there's one scene in a generic radio station. And they have two kids, and the spark in their marriage is out. They do. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, a couple that have been together for a while and have two kids don't have as much sex as they did when they were.
I do drink my hater. Being a hater.
Thanks, Bianca. Kobe, I'm not saying it's a prophecy, but just that's what's happening in this film. So they think in order to spice things up, they will make the title of the film. Except it's not a tape, it's digital.
Right.
And then technological shenanigans ensue.
Technological chicanery?
Chicanery, yes. Because we've never seen this in a movie. She wants it erased. Well, he said he was going to, and then it gets out.
Right.
So there, yeah. So now it's
That's
the...
my address in high school.
It's dumb.
It's really dumb, Cobe, yes. And Joe. But yeah, it's... so then we find out he gives away old iPads as a gift. So now they have to track down all of the iPads... And then Joe Scheer, actually, speaking of it's dumb, Joe Scheer, the film app, then made the comparison. I wish I had come up with it. But so the first half is boohoo. We're not dating anymore. We're not having as much physicality as we were when we were courting. Mm. And then it becomes this kind of date night film-esque caper chase where there are lots of shenanigans and chicanery. Not really that funny. Yes, you look like
it's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
What?
The neighbors on the show? The Seth Rogen?
Oh,
not the Tommy Wiseau thing.
No, that's not that. Not. Yeah, I did talk about that.
Because that sounds, it just sounds very kind of along the same lines. I thought The Neighbors was hilarious.
Especially when old people walk in slow-mo with hip-hop playing underneath, because that's how it looks to me when I'm walking.
Also, you could there was a very succinct division amongst the audience, because you could watch the teenagers that came in who were obviously rooting for the frat, and
right.
I was there with my girlfriend, and we're in our mid-20s now, and we were rooting for Seth Rogen and his
Well, that film's a hot mess. If you made it 20 minutes shorter and you kept flipping back and forth on... But yeah, there is a little bit of oh boohoo, yeah, you can't run with the frat guys anymore. I'm sorry,
right.
But Neighbors does make fun of the brotastic moments of fraternity life, so yeah. I give it that. But in this, so you have a film where technology is used as a major plot point, and you have characters that, when it's convenient to the film, become really dumber than they really should be as far as knowledge of technology. And something as simple as how to erase a file.
Right.
Things like that. But...
Right click.
Right. So the problem is, I think, the film wants you to not think about these things. The problem is when you're a haterade drinker like yours truly, I do think about these things, and that just makes the film even worse.
Well, and most people often... I mean, that's... the audience is often... is almost always smarter than you, than filmmakers.
Than me personally?
No, they're smarter than you, Matt Sosie.
Thank you, dear.
I think, you know, people, they're always finding something to follow, and they're noticing every tiny little thing. You know, I think, and writers so often are like, oh, well, I have to explain this because they won't get it. They're on it.
I always remember a scene in, I think it was Because I Said So, where Diane Keaton is the mother of Mandy Moore, and she's doing something on, you know, she's a whiz on the computer, and then she accidentally pulls up a porn page and then doesn't know how to use a computer.
Oh.
You know, just kind of almost, I mean, literally just putting the hands up, go, ah!
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. That's kind of what this film does quite a bit. And you know, the first half of it is, you know, the first setup of it is them trying to get together, you know, trying to have sex and be alone and do it and literally do it. And you know, the frustrations of that not happening. And then it comes back near the end of it. By the way, the question is, this has already been brought up a few times. Yes, you actually do see footage of the tape itself. This is their version of the photos from The Hangover.
Right.
Not nearly as entertaining as one would hope. You know, Jason Segel, I think most of us have seen more of Jason Segel than anybody.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Really, yeah exactly. So, and bully for him. Good for him.
Weirdest scene I've ever seen.
That's right. So good for him. And, you know, guys, yes, you guys have been waiting since The Mask. Yeah, you see a little bit of Cameron Diaz. You're welcome. But it just has this feeling of sadness I felt sad watching it. Of the desperation of these people trying to get rid of this tape and trying to maintain their marriage, and a little bit of, oh, woe is us, we're not in college anymore. So
worst film you ever saw. Well, my next one will be better.
I don't know if it's that bad, but it's not December yet, so we will see. But yeah, I'm really, my patience are wearing thin, and I feel I'm just shooing more and more damn kids off my front porch.
I'm just saying, it's snoozable.
Probably.
I was waiting for a Gran Torino clip on that one.
No, I just said it. I don't know. That's the only line from Gran Torino we can use. So the only one. So. But yeah. So anyway, don't worry about those. Go see Hamlet. That's fine. Or go to the Indianapolis Film Fest, Indy Film Fest, which is happening through July 26th at the Indiana Museum of Art and the Indiana State Museum. Full disclosure, I got to be one of the judges in the documentary series. But there, you can check out our colleague Ed Johnson-Ott's capsule reviews in Nouveau News Weekly. Some of the films I got to see and I really enjoyed include The Ballad of Shovels and Rope, which is a two-person group, a country roots group from, I think it's Nashville, but seeing their big rise in such a short span of time. It's, you know, if you've seen enough music documentaries, especially of up-and-coming bands, this is no different, but they have some really nice chemistry together. The music's cool. It's well done. One that I really liked, and of course, it's kind of a niche documentary, some, you know, like for instance, Spellbound, which was about kids there was spelling bee, or Trekkies, which follows people that are into Star Trek. Well, there's a documentary called Jingle Bell Rocks, and it's about people obsessed with Christmas music.
Wow.
Yeah,
like all throughout the year, like obsessed
throughout the year. These are guys, and of course I see this in my future, sort of. Actually, no, I actually do it. Guys who go to used shops and just go through piles and piles and boxes of bins looking for the one obscure Christmas song or
got
one.
It, got it, got it, got
yeah.
it, got it, got it.
Need it. Need
awesome.
It. Awesome. No,
got
be cool,
it,
be
got
cool.
It, got it,
yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So and people have different reasons for it throughout the year. And there's a little bit about how Christmas music affects the recording industry and how, you know, it's almost a guaranteed seller depending on them. So, and it also introduces you to a lot of obscure Christmas songs, which I think is really cool. Both,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, so if. And the head of the main focal point of this, it goes back to, and there's a little bit of what?
You're just talking about obscure Christmas music, and I was wondering if they maybe touched on Afro Man's Occult 45 Christmas in the movie.
Sadly, no. But wow. didn't you hear that song live?
No, not that live. I did see Afro Man
no.
Three times total, twice in the same calendar year.
Because he's that huge in Bloomington.
Yes, he
and Bloomington are like real tight.
I think the contact buzz from the first concert just
sold
the other two tickets.
When Afro Man comes through, everybody comes out.
No kidding. And they were both packed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, Kobe, they did not bring up Afro Man's song, but you did.
There you go. Afro Man, check out the album, Occult 45 Christmas.
That's what we'll have in a few months.
Wow.
But they did have Run DMC on to talk about
okay.
So yeah, so there's and Elvis, the Spanish Elvis impersonator.
Oh
wow.
Oh yeah. So anyway, it's a lot of fun, and the guy who's in basically the main focal point of this has a little bit of some personal closure when it came to his upbringing and his some issues with his dad. So it's not just let's just turn the camera on and see all the weird, odd Christmas songs. Yeah. There's a little bit of heart to it, and it's really well done.
Cool.
And then also there's a documentary that had good timing on my part. It's called Beyond All Boundaries, and it's a fascinating film that follows three people from India, and they're all fanatics of cricket, and it's happening during the World Cup of Cricket. And I got to see this before everybody jumped off the bandwagon of the World Cup. That's when the U.S. lost. But it follows three different groups. You have a young 12-year-old phenom boy that wants to start playing professionally whenever possible. You have a woman that wants to play with the men, but there's a women's league. Mm-hmm. And then you have, if you look in Nuvo, you can see the picture of the third guy. This is the one that paints his body and rides on a bike to matches.
Oh, wow.
In India. Several days of riding, right. So, and getting the gruff from his family about, devoting his entire life and focus to cricket and not starting a family and getting a job. So, anyway, it works if you're a sports fan of any kind or if you're a fanatic, you can relate. But I don't think this is a point and giggle one like Trekkies can be. So,
right.
But no, those are all playing at the Indie Film Fest. So, go check that out. That is. Was it indiefilmfest.org, I believe? So that's definitely worth checking out. Over at the Tonight Midnight Movies. I'm sorry, Kobe was in mid-yawn. I do that to him. Tonight at Landmark Keystone Arts Cinemas is part of the Midnight Movie series. We missed you at the room, Adam.
I know.
I heard all about that.
You're next, Leah.
Have fun.
But this weekend, Clue. From 1986, and still no word on which ending they're going to use.
Yeah.
So, what time do you guys get off stage?
11.
Hey, it's midnight.
10:30.
No, it's about 10:30. But by the time we get out of there, it'll
it's midnight
late.
Tonight.
Yeah. Tonight and Saturday.
Over at
Keystone Arts.
Yeah, I bet we could get our cast
where there's
that.
A bar. Okay, I just arranged your cast party. You're
words.
Welcome. So, also, hey, is the IMA sold out this weekend?
Oh, let me check that.
Because this weekend at the IMA is part of their summer movie series, Hook.
Nice.
1991.
So
the hairiest Peter Pan on the planet.
There
that's right.
You are, Peter.
And a great cameo by Glenn Close.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Buffett.
What?
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett's in it.
Yeah, I knew something that Kobe didn't know. I'm going home.
Stay here. You still got to talk about Hamlet. You know what? Because you know what happens? A pirate turns 40.
Did they play the song? I never made it through the whole movie.
No, is it?
It's
no,
just
I'm,
like,
I'm for, no, John Williams will not allow any music that's not his on his.
Right.
So.
Okay. Hook is sold out tonight.
Oh, so you have to go rent it or go to Hamlet. So there's that.
Flashdance next week. American Graffiti the week after that.
Okay, that's fine.
IU Cinema
that's
on
why
a,
Hook is sold out.
IU Cinema on a break until next week.
Next week. What's happening next week?
Next week, IU Cinema, Saturday, July 26th. Swim, Little Fish, Swim, 2014 comedy.
Is Dory
drama.
Hosting that?
Just keep swimming.
And then also from 2014, next Saturday night as well, Elena.
Okay. Could you check Tibbs?
I'm on it.
You guys have been? I'm an old person. Been to the drive-in?
We just went 2 weeks ago, maybe.
What'd you see?
We saw Transformers 4 and
still 20,
and 22 Jump Street.
22 Jump Street. That's okay. They're both
that's
action
right.
films. They're both action. That's also 6.5 hours. But
which, by the way, the Transformers franchise was really smart by putting Mark Wahlberg in their movie. I think
a little less maintenance, so to speak.
Well, and also,
you know what? Mark Wahlberg's not screaming at cabaret performances.
Right. Well, and also, you don't get the he's running away from everything. Mark Wahlberg will fight a robot. I mean, that's
but it's not real steel.
No, it's not real. No, that movie, by the way, was really deceptive. I thought I was going to watch Rock 'em Sock 'em Robots the movie,
It was over the top.
It was emotional, is what it was.
Yeah, it was,
you know, I was sad at the end of Real Steel.
The only thing missing was a Kenny Loggins ballad. That's all that. So, all
right, Tibbs Drive-In this week. This first pairing is a little bit odd. Screen one, movie one, Purge, Anarchy, and we followed that up with 22 Jump Street.
What?
Same studio? Same studio? Maybe.
Because
we had this discussion
That's
a couple
a
of weeks.
Teenager sale right there.
Yeah, we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago of just odd pairings.
Yeah.
And it started when it was Think Like a Man 2 and Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So my first thing was same studio. What is that? And then there was one. It was X-Men and Fault in Our Stars. Which I knew was the same studio.
Well, that's a teenage
and then
too.
And then yeah. Lynn, my wife, said, well, one for him, one for her. I guess so.
Yep.
So we kind of put it out there a few weeks back of strange pairings. Or there's one where it's like the animated feature, the G-rated feature is first, and you're hoping your kids fall asleep so you can watch the PG-13 raunchy thing for the second. So anyway, what else is over there?
Screen two, this one may be a little bit more in line. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes followed by Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more in line.
Fire and Rescue followed by Earth to Echo.
Oh boy, I can still hear Joe Shearer griping about Earth to Echo. He no likey.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And Screen 4 Sex Tape followed by Tammy.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a whole lot of not fun though.
Tammy was the better film. What does that tell you? But I will say this, because of Tammy. Because I am, of course, at my house, I am pop culture Atticus Finch. I was able to talk the 12-year-old into watching Thelma and Louise.
Nice.
Wow.
Because as we were watching, I'm like, honey, this is really, that's Thelma and Louise, basically. That's Louise right there. So we did watch it. And, yeah, she wants a road trip like that, but living.
Right. I was like, without the end.
She wants to end and go, whew, that was close.
I want to make it at the end.
That's right.
So she wants to pick up Brad Pitt at some point along the trip.
Okay, now my daughter is 12, and she is also smart enough to know that if she likes a boy, she is not going to say anything to me. And now that I'm saying this on the show, I'm sure she's going to give me all sorts of hell for it.
Yeah, you're in trouble at home.
But she,
it's okay, Emma.
Thank you, Leah. Watching the movie, I heard her say, "See Brad Pitt and pick him up, and all the day you'll have good luck."
Oh.
Yeah, didn't end so well for them, though, did it?
No, it didn't. But and now she still makes what I call disgusted Kermit face, even with, Leah, you'll know, the shot of Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise. Yeah. Yep, those abs right there. So I did not look at her. But then again, you know, because I don't want to, like, is she looking at her? And then she's like, Dad, why are you looking at me? Look at the screen. So, but then again, she's still recovering from watching me smooch Beatrice on stage. She's not a fan.
Sad.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. But it was just to hear a little thing of that was, I'm like, interesting. So, there's that. More Thelma-y, the more Louise-y. So.
Brad Pitt, pick him up all day long. You'll have good luck.
I'm really having a hard time not saying unless you're Jennifer Aniston.
Bum, 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 bum. All right, let's take a break so we can give Adam a good talking to.
Well, good first half, guys. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then we'll break down the first half, and then we'll get into the second half, and then I think if we got enough momentum, we might finish the show. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI. And you messed up. WFYI.org.
We'll be right back. one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Hanging out with Kobe Slagle, Leah DeWalt, and Adam Tran. They are in AUP's production of The Tragedy of Hamlet, which is running this weekend and next weekend. So I think we broke it down. We had a good first half.
Yeah,
we had film reviews. We had amusing anecdotes.
We're ready to come out in the second half here and talk to our guests and see what's going on in and around the community. And
we have a dead people we like in a little bit.
We have dead people we like. So
we have a couple titles on DVD and Blu-ray, but we want to spend more time with our guests, so we'll just kind of plow through those. That night I didn't see them.
It's good. We're looking forward to a real solid 25 minutes here, the back half of the show. So. We'll end strong. Yeah.
Because as Elmore Leonard once said, it's a real show. It's
terrific.
Yeah,
you sound like you guys are really convincing yourselves. It's going to be great.
You know what the show
it's
has?
Be great.
Fire and passion.
On a side note.
Yes, sir.
But not a complete side note, because we did just hear from Tyler Hansbrough. With Lance Stevenson not coming back, that frees up a ton of space to bring back
The LeBron-esque return of Tyler Hansbrough.
Why didn't anybody make a big deal about it when I came back?
Yeah, they didn't do that. He did not get a Peyton-esque return when the Raptors visited Banker's Life. No, I'm afraid not. No, apparently white basketball has now become the Bulls. So, and I love Leah does this little gesture of free throating to let Adam know that we're discussing basketball.
I'm checking.
You're asking. Okay.
Is this basketball? Okay, good. Got it. I won't comment.
Yeah, that game was 0-0. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then they had took a break for cucumber sandwiches. Cricket gesture, great on radio. Not necessary. All right.
Can't see it.
New on DVD and Blu-ray. Too bad Gina Wagner is not here, but she would enjoy this. Rio 2.
Oh, yeah.
Still Rio-ing.
Still partying and samba-ing.
Still samba-ing. Speaking of samba-ing, how are things at the cooldown?
Cool, that's good.
That's Kobe's Brazilian show, Saturdays at 7.
Saturdays at 7 right here on WFYI HD2 The Point, online at WFYI.org, or you can listen on your favorite public radio app on your smartphone.
And what's tomorrow night's show?
What is tomorrow night's show? I can't remember what's on tomorrow night.
A little of this, a little of that.
You know, a little of this, a little of that, a la Joe Scheer.
Rio 2, because you need to see, but you have to watch the first one. I'm sure there are a lot of questions unanswered from the first Rio.
Yeah. My 6-year-old, my cousin's son, who's 6, was just riveted with what
Here's a thought. Actually, I haven't seen Rio.
Which is perfect for the show, but go on. I haven't either.
Never mind. Was just thinking about the Disney animated little movie, The Three Caballeros, where Donald Duck goes to Uruguay
and the
Brazil,
parrot.
And, yes, Jose Carioca, and I forget what the Mexican bird's name is.
Right.
They're probably slightly less racist now.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that one is actually acknowledged that it actually existed, as opposed to, say, Song of the South. We don't know what you're talking about there.
Anyway, yeah. Never mind.
Thank you.
Continue on.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Love Three Caballeros.
I grew up with that movie. I haven't watched it in years.
Watched it earlier this week.
You own it?
Yeah, of course. Yes,
we had it on VHS growing up, and that was one of the ones we continuously.
Yeah, cool.
Over
so you acknowledge that it's racist, and also that you enjoy it, Kobe. Is that what you're saying?
Hey, somebody's watching.
I like the Jose Carioca character and the Brazilian songs,
and some of his best friends are.
The rest of it is simply abhorrible.
Could you guys keep it down? I'm watching The Jazz Singer. Okay. Also out on Blu-ray this week, Under the Skin, which has, you'd have thought I made this film. Scarlett Johansson as an extraterrestrial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the preview for that.
I should have made that film. And
you just want a director.
Moving on, also for Criterion, for your old titles, from 1981, David Cronenberg's Scanners, or as you guys know it as the psychic powers, brains exploding film from the early 80s. So that's really about it. Kind of a weak field this week, and that's quite okay. However, before we talk to our guests, I'm looking at Kobe as I'm setting this up.
That's my cue.
That's your cue. We have Chris Lloyd, who just gives us audio nuggets of joy.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Because that's so much better than Hollywood obits. Dead people we like. And we did have a big one this week. And then when I was prepping our... as Joe said, but
there's a pretty big one this week.
As I was prepping our guests, yeah, we actually do talk beforehand. Leah got very excited because she felt this would be her contribution to the show.
It's not a film. I actually know about this.
But no, actress and singer Elaine Stritch passed away at the age of 80, and this was a Renaissance woman of doing theater and film and television and cabarets and go listen to Ladies Who Do Lunch from
Company.
Ladies Who Lunch. I'm Guy. I don't know the titles. I just want Christina Hendricks as a stewardess. But hello, friends of Sondheim. But yeah, she passed away at the age of 89. Just had a full career as a singer and a performer, going back to the 1950s. Now, probably best known for her stage work. And yeah, I know she was Alec Baldwin's mom in 30 Rock. For
so
those
funny.
Within the
line.
See there.
Yes.
That lady.
She did not stop.
She did not stop. And there was a documentary that was about her last year as well. And any woman that can curse, not you, on Kathy Lee and Hoda's show, that's always fun. You asked Elaine Stritch to be on at 10 a.m. What do you expect? It's like asking Adam to be on at 3. But she would drink you under the table. But anyway, so looking back at some of her films from going as far back as the 1950s, films like Three Violent People, A Farewell to Arms, Kiss Her Goodbye. She worked with Woody Allen twice on films, September, and she also worked on Cocoon, The Return, Cadillac Man, Out to Sea, Small Time Crooks, the other film with Woody Allen, Autumn in New York, Monster in Law, the bizarre John Turturro directed musical Romance and Cigarettes. You should check this out. It's a musical with Susan Sarandon, James Gandolfini, and nobody saw it. And Elaine Stritch is in that. And she was the voice of Grandma in Paranorman. It was one of her last pictures. But
I love that film. We watched that last Halloween season, and I was like, "How have I never seen? It's so good."
Yeah, it's I was talking with
voice,
I was talking with Stacey Studeville, one of their regular guests here at Film Sociology. Her daughter Maya is about 3, 4, and she had watched Paranorman for the first time. This was her daughter's introduction to zombies.
I was wondering how scary it would be to kids, but I mean, I think if you stick through it and watch the whole thing,
right?
You know, it really could.
I think it's not a bad springboard for dark-esque animation, because I checked and I asked Stacey, has her daughter seen Nightmare Before Christmas, and she said not yet, so maybe
that's
later this year.
Little,
so
start with Paranorman, and then you just open Tim Burton's catalog and
just goes out there, and Danny Elfman, they're a match set at times. So anyway, but yeah, look up her work. She was a tremendous singer, and kind of the other one was the story we heard was that she was originally offered the Bea Arthur role in The Golden Girls.
Oh, wow.
But they found another foul mouth drinker who can sing.
Yes.
So
they had a few of them.
So yeah, she would not pull punches. So salute to Elaine on that.
Everybody rise.
And by the way, the glass you're holding up, not big enough.
Also not a glass.
That's a thimble in Elaine's world. So,
thimble full of scotch will get you somewhere.
Somewhere. Just not here. All right, so The Tragedy of Hamlet. Now, I love the fact that the tragedy of is in the title.
It is.
Because my lovely wife had to do that with Romeo and Juliet as well. Just to remind folks,
everybody dies.
A way to give it away.
No, I mean, we don't. Not everybody, but just expect that, and you'll be all right.
So you're playing Ophelia, and you're playing Laertes, mm-hmm. Adam and Leah. Just so folks know, because it's the big question. What is the setting?
It is contemporary political. So modern day, completely modern costumes and everything, original language, obviously, and set in Denmark has become a Washington, D.C., a White House of sorts. So the
great.
Words...
So there are Danish pundits screaming endlessly on television.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
Kobe, I'm sorry. Kobe, could you check The Onion? There should be a recent article about Shakespeare plays.
Yes.
I would like to share that with the audience, but I'm going to get back to our guests. So
we still use the word king, obviously, because it's in the text, but he is very obviously the U.S. president and first lady.
And you're either for him or against him.
Yes, essentially. And so Hamlet is
not,
the...
Kobe, not from Kenya.
Hamlet is the child of the president and first lady.
There you go. And, ladies and gentlemen, she.
Yes, yeah. The daughter.
Daughter
playing a woman, because it has been played by women, but, you know, they'll do a don a cap. And
right.
I would say,
if you put on a cap, you're a dude.
but every time I wear a hat, that happens to me. People are like, well, now you're...
It worked on Summer Holiday. But, yeah, Diane Venora, she approves. So.
And Lauren Brueggemann is playing our Hamlet.
Masterfully.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I cannot. I can't talk about her enough.
We
got about 20 minutes. Go for it.
She's really talented. We're all annoyed by it as well.
She just handles the language better than anyone her age, let alone really just many people I've ever seen ever. And she, you know, the role is age appropriate at this time. You know, it's not a huge like character stretch for her to, you know, play someone of this age who's, you know,
right,
kind of struggling with some things. And so
and she's not 40-year-old Richard Burton.
Right. So she's just bringing this really natural herself to it and handling the language in such a way that you know what she's saying every second of the show, and you know what she's doing, and you know what her tactics are and what she's trying to get. And you can just follow her. And she's funny.
And she's relatable.
She's hilarious.
You care about Hamlet for a change.
Yeah, it's not whiny.
Yeah, actually, Adam, you brought that up before the show. So how is this Hamlet compared to other Hamlets that you've dealt with besides the wine factor?
She's relatable and she's funny and she's so much... she's somebody that you want to follow in terms of a point of ego identification or a way into the show, as opposed to a character that you're kind of annoyed with and you're just waiting for them to die, which I feel like happens with a lot of Hamlets, regardless of how good the actor is.
Yeah,
she just does something. It's just something that I haven't seen a Hamlet do before. It's pretty amazing.
You watch the whole process of the story and the character. You kind of watch her discover everything instead of watching her complain about everything.
So now the other thing is, since it's set modern, is there actually? There's still a duel with swords.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So we,
yep.
We, no, yeah. We're not. Hand me my long sword, and it's a shotgun.
No, right. No.
Definitely sword. I mean, kind of. They're bigger swords than fencing, but kind of a fencing-esque in terms of the competition. You know.
Well, Adam, yeah. you look pretty good. So I don't see any marks.
Yeah.
A touch, I do confess.
And I mean, unless they're self-inflicted, I haven't really been hurt too much.
Scott Russell did our fight choreography for the show.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Awesome. Phenomenal.
Yep.
I think that the duel comes out of like some weird sense of elitism that we just don't understand, not being at that, you know, tax bracket. In terms of
they are the 1%.
Yeah, right. So they, in terms of like bringing the swords out, it's one of those things that you accept in this universe that is created by Brian Nofke, who's really...
Hi, Brian.
Put this together really well.
Yes. Director, producer. So.
Lighting designer, costume designer, he's doing everything.
Man of all seasons. Wrong play.
But I think that the universe that he's created, it makes it very easily acceptable that they're having a sword fight.
And how's Ophelia?
Because
that's also a challenging...
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, and it's interesting too, because it's a relationship
like...
between two women, which the thing that I appreciate about this production is, you know, so Hamlet is a woman and Ophelia is still a woman. But it doesn't become a play about that. It's
right.
Not a play about, you know, the first daughter, you know, in it being homosexual at all. It just is this story that already exists, and it just kind of adds another layer onto it, and adds kind of some, as any resetting of a Shakespeare does. All of a sudden, certain lines become really pertinent in ways that they were not in the original language.
Sure, sure.
There's a moment where Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are speaking with Hamlet, and Hamlet says, she's just saying, you know, she's lost her kind of passion for life, and she says, "Man delights not me." And so Rosencrantz and Guildenstern kind of have an appropriate reaction, and she gets to kind of, you know, play with them a little bit, and says, "Well, women do not either." And there's kind of so it adds in some fun moments. But I have been absolutely honored to play this role and really dig in and find some of the really terrible.
And she's really good. She's feigning humility right now because that's kind of her thing.
Well, and I've seen there's a couple of really fun pictures of Leah on the page, and I've written sarcastically of, because usually I think for a lot of people, I think, Adam, what you said about Hamlet, a lot of folks could say that about Ophelia. It's almost like, "Hi, Hamlet, what are thou thinking now and now and now? Why'd you kill my dad? Why are you acting all weird? What's wrong? What's up with that?" You know, and so to find a new twist on that, you know, a different approach. Part of it because of Hamlet, because of your Hamlet. But I am intrigued to see. I've also worked with you. I've seen your work, obviously. I can't wait to see what you do with the Big O.
I think that the setting allows it to just kind of have a level of simplicity, you know, because it's such a huge setting with the White House, et cetera, that you don't have to play it big, you know, you don't have to bring
the world itself is big enough,
right? And it is the tragedy of Hamlet, so the stakes are enormous already, you know, so you really can kind of bring the simplicity to it and just tell the story.
And how big is the space? Because that's another one.
The stage is quite large. It's a concrete stage, and then there are three tiers of levels of grass, essentially, for people to. If you come to the show, bring lawn chairs, blankets, bring a sweatshirt. It's been getting kind of chilly. And
I'll bring a bowl and sour cream.
Yes, please bring food. I don't know.
They have dinner
numbers
on the brain now.
How many you could fit there? But I mean, because it's not theater seats, it's open. I think it's an amazing space,
space
to perform in, because there is the stage is already there, and there are kind of sections of wall.
Yeah.
At the back of the stage, and then there's a small kind of building behind where the audience sits. So even for sound, we are using microphones in this production, but I think it would be possible to do without it, because we're given a soundboard behind us and a soundboard behind the audience.
Okay.
And there are lights, you know, that get, you know, more and more important as the, you know, dusk happens. And night.
Yeah, it does.
But
does
that adds
have
a lot to the production as well.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and you have a backup plan. I mean, you have if what the weather.
Yes, we have rain dates on Sundays.
Yeah, we had the first time we did a run through in the old Jeanette Mansion for Much Ado, and it rained, and we had a roof, but volume. Everybody stepped up their volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it got to the point where we had to take a 10-minute break before the rain died down, because then even guys that were at the top of their voice, you couldn't hear them.
Right.
So.
Just too much noise.
Sometime, especially when this is over, you guys should go check out, or it's just a blatant excuse to bring you over to the Slackers Club Med, that is the Sosie house. But
do we have to take a passport?
Oh, come on, it's Richmond. It's not that far.
I take
it's not
mine
Ohio.
When I go to, I take
come
mine
on.
When I go to Carmel.
That's, well, you have to in Carmel. That's, yeah, you know, if you have, a, if you
Customs
have.
Customs takes at least 10 minutes.
If you have out of state plates here, anyway. But no, Kenneth Branagh did a film called A Midwinter's Tale. And this is the film he did after Frankenstein and before Hamlet, and it's kind of his, somebody called it Spinal Tap for the Shakespeare crowd.
Oh gosh.
And it is low budget, black and white,
and Branagh did it, so it's
and it's
brilliant.
it kind of cleansed the palate of having feathered hair and wallowing around in goo with Robert De Niro to preparing to do Hamlet unedited. But it's right. a group of actors staging a production of Hamlet in December. So he is casting actors that don't have an acting gig in December.
Right.
You know, you know those are
we
what's
make
left.
So much money in December.
And,
that's my favorite time.
You know, Gertrude is played by a man, and Ophelia doesn't wear her glasses. She has poor eyesight.
Oh, no.
And it's anyway, it's
A Midwinter's Tale.
Yeah, Midwinter's Tale. It is on Warner Archives. Kobe, that's the studio. We have to buy the films online. You can't get them in stores,
right.
And they're like kind of obscure films.
I mean, you have these at Club Sosie,
or as Kobe likes to say,
yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
He was that guy in college. Yeah, I actually do own it. So, okay. But it's part of the
we'll
the Shakespeare film
there.
Collection.
I expect marinade.
I'm sorry, feed you?
Yeah.
I'm talking about dinner too.
What do you order? Sorry, what did you order, dear? I'll let the sous chef know. No, I didn't hear you. Marinated what?
Marinated meats and grilled vegetables.
Yep.
Yes, that sounds like
the rest you can decide.
My Facebook Mad Libs.
I know. I follow them. I appreciate it.
So that's the we'll have to listen to some Charlie Hayden. Kobe, you got to get some Charlie Hayden.
All right.
Respect. And by the way, if you listen to Fresh Air tonight, there's a rebroadcast, or you can just go to npr.org/freshair. Really cool interview with jazz bassist Charlie Hayden, who passed away this week. And yeah, tomorrow night's Blues House Party, lots and lots of Johnny Winter.
Right.
Big time. Respect, West Side. So
that went weird.
No, that's fine. That's it. Phone call over. So I guess you guys haven't been able to watch anything except each other for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Kind of, yes.
It's a better seat for Leah than it is for me if she's watching me. I'm really amazed at the talent in the cast. It's really incredible. And during rehearsals, I have quite a bit of time off stage, so I got to watch a lot of them.
Yeah. Clear really, to spend some time really, in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. France. Brooding.
They're really great. They're really great.
Now I have to ask: Have you done Laertes as Russell Brand yet?
No.
No.
Oh, you just did that for me.
Yeah. Well, I did that for you and for the indie style people.
Yes, that's true. First read through we had of "It's a Wonderful Life," which I directed at Anderson University many moons ago. Adam here decided to do Clarence as Russell Brand. Which was amusing for the first read through, and then the second read through, he kept doing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, he really is going to try to run with this. So
somebody has to
We compromised. Oh no, this developed my reputation because Adam would follow my directions, and nobody at AU believed me. But then I said, okay, you can keep him English, which he did, mm-hmm. but you can't be that blatant. Yeah. He can't be Arthur. Yeah. And it would irritate Kobe, so don't want to do that.
If I would have known Kobe was coming, I would have just done that.
No, you don't do that. That's like, well, it's the last performance. Let's just add a bunch of weird stuff. Yeah. No. So anyway, no, it was fun. And there's my hot Irish maid. More inside jokes here at Film Sociology.
Oh, yeah. I like Film Sociology, but sometimes it gets too inside jokey.
Thank you, Kobe.
Matt Sosie's life is inside too inside joking.
But you're a part of it. It's like the mob. You're really not getting out.
Once you're in, you can't get out.
You can't get out. You see, that's what I'm talking about. I also, at Mr. Trans request, had to do an inspirational backstage speech like Any Given Sunday.
The green room speech was Any Given Sunday. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's actually worked. You just replace football with theater.
Yeah,
try it sometime. It's quite good. I might have it written down somewhere. So, Kobe, how are things with Ferris? I think you and Fair Sweet Bianca should go see Hamlet because that's right up your alley.
We saw, let's see, Sunday night we saw Begin Again.
Oh, yes, from the director of Once,
mm-hmm.
where Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley make beautiful music together.
Yes, mm-hmm. And she has had the soundtrack on loop since.
Oh, gosh.
Which isn't bad because, I mean, it's Adam Levine. I didn't know Adam Levine is in the movie. Adam Levine is in the movie. Mm-hmm. So the soundtrack does not sound like current Maroon 5. The soundtrack sounds like original Maroon 5.
But that guy's going to be late for his Maroon 5 concert. That's a riff from The Room.
Before they got too commercial, it sold out. But no, it's like, you know, just good kind of jazzy adult contemporary type stuff.
Nora Jonesy.
Kinda.
I like adult jazz, but sometimes it's too Nora Jonesy.
But no, it's good.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's good. And I want to give while I got time, a big shout out to my daughter, Emma, because my wife has been at a conference, so it's been daddy-daughter 2 weeks. And although she's picking the movie tonight, we're watching Miyazaki.
To grow up in the Sosie household.
I know. I was going to say, a 12-year-old
y'all wish. Y'all, she loves Miyazaki, big time.
She does.
But we did watch, finally, Jaws, because I took her to Sharknado last
Sharknado
week.
Sharknado 2.
Yeah. We missed you at Sharknado.
Yeah, I know.
But we watched Jaws, Silence of the Lambs, because there was an episode of Sam and Cat based on Silence of the Lambs.
Sure.
And Thelma and Louise because of Tammy. So big shout
She's
out.
Just catching up.
She is just catching up. She will not quote Agent Starling, but she is working on her. And I cannot talk like Buffalo Bill around Emma. And really, why should I? I'm her dad. Here's some words to live by.
Oh, Adam. There it is.
Teenage people.
And I missed it there.
Zardoz.
Good grief.
has spoken.
For ticket information, where do people go? What do they do?
Acting Up Productions. They have a Facebook page, an event page for the tragedy of Hamlet. Brown paper tickets are tickets are $3 off if you buy them online ahead of time.
Bye.